from your word, Lord. Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Lord, I think of so many times that my mother, that I know of, and so many more that I don't know of, prayed for me, prayed for her sons, prayed for her family. Lord, you answer prayer. She has three sons who love you. Lord, you answer prayer. So many here have been praying. So many here have been praying for their children, for their grandchildren, for their loved ones. So many parents and grandparents and guardians spend so much time pleading with you, talking to you on behalf of their loved ones, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you listen to prayer, that you hear it, that you respond. You don't always respond the way we want, Lord, but you are with us in the process. So, Father, I pray that as we come to your word today, if there's things in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that need to be put aside, may we put them aside now. I pray that we would be still before you. Lord, we pray for a spiritual covering over this place. Father, that the distractions would not be there. That your word would speak to us what you would have us hear. Father, pray that you would speak through me, get me out of the way to be used by you. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're finishing up our series on courageous faith in a hostile culture. And as we've been going through some of the book of Daniel, really looking at how do we live out our faith in a culture, in a world that says, you know what? We do our own thing. We live our own way. And, you know, this whole God thing, that's not for me. Guys, how do we stand? How do we stand in the lives of the people we love and not be rude and not be judgmental? But how do we live a life like Daniel lived? I mean, we've seen in the past how there's the famous story from Daniel 6 that we covered a few weeks ago, where Daniel refused to pray to the king. And so he was thrown in the lion's den, and God shut the mouths of the lions. But how do we pray? How do we live a life and have our prayer life affect the way we live? And that's really what we're going to be looking at today in Daniel 10, 1 through 21. Daniel lived during the original Babylon, remember? Nowadays, we refer to Babylon as the bad place. Babylon often is, oh man, I'm facing my own Babylon. I'm in the dungeon. I'm in a place of where the culture is just sometimes gross, sometimes very offensive. Guys, what we're being taught today in our culture, what we are being told in the news, is that what is wrong is right. And what's right is wrong. We're being told over and over that things are not as God says. We're being told over and over that you know what? It's not God's truth that matters. It's your truth of the moment. And follow your way, your hope, your what makes you happy now, go for it. Just do it. Enjoy it. Life is short. Do what you want and then die and it's all over. Me and mine is the world that's being portrayed to us, given to us. And guys, that is, it's a lie from the enemy. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And here Daniel, who lived during the original Babylon, he was brought, remember, to Babylon. And as he was brought out, he's brought out as a teenager. And now he's about 90 years old. And remember last week we talked about he knew that it had been 68 years and the promise that 70 years and the people would be returning. And Daniel was afraid. He was concerned because he knew that the people who would come out, they were sheep farmers and now they were shop owners. And they had gotten a taste of Babylon. And a lot of them liked it. There was a lot to like. Can you imagine going from taking care of sheep to being at your store, how they live, for many of them, the level of living had gone up. And as they're getting ready to go back to Jerusalem, a lot of them are, they don't want to go back. This is a different style of life. This is a, there's more to life physically that they have now. And so he's really concerned. And so this is now 2 years later from last week. And here he is, and they're preparing for returning back to Jerusalem. And let's pick it up in verse 1. Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. And I used no lotions. Oh, boy. He's really roughing it, guys. He's roughing it. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Evidently, Daniel was a lotion guy. What's this saying? What's he doing? He's going, it's simple living. He's simplifying his life dramatically for what? For 3 weeks, so that he can hear from God, so that he can be preparing his heart to be prepared for what God has for his people. He's concerned about how his people are going to respond about going back, and so he's trying to prepare. Have you ever tried to prepare your heart for something that's coming up? And you just go to God and you're praying. And have you ever been in a place where you needed God to speak in? Guys, today is Mother's Day, so I thought I would share one of my favorite stories to share when my mom's with my mom. And this is me. Yes, that's the front page of the paper there. I'm 12 years old here. I'm a little thinner. Don't say anything. Keep the comments to a minimum on that. And boy, I'm really thin there. Woo! Yeah. But I was lost. I was a Boy Scout, and I went on a hike, and it was a long hike, I believe a 20-miler. And I fell off the side of a mountain and slid on my backpack down the side of the mountain, and it was really, really steep. And I thought I just slid a little bit because it happened so fast. And when I stopped, I had hurt my knees on the way down, and a swamp had stopped me right before I went over a cliff. A little pooling of water. So I was all wet, and I took off my shoes and my pants, and I'd hurt my knees, and so I was crawling back up the mountain. I was thinking, I didn't slide that far on my backpack. I thought, you know, because the trees just went whooshing by. My backpack was kind of like a toboggan. And I kept going up, and I couldn't find the trail. I had just come off some switchbacks and come around a corner. When I fell, the guys right in front of me were a ways off, but within eye distance. But it happened so fast, I yelled just like this. I started yelling at the bottom, but it was a little late. Couldn't find the trail for 3 days. I was lost. And when you're lost and alone, you make a lot of deals with God. I had a lot of alone time with God. You know, God, if you get me off here, I will never sin again. Right. God, if you get me off here, off this mountain, I'll always listen to my parents. Right. But you start making deals, and I know that there was one time where my mom went into the woods to pray, and as she looked up, the camera was there, and she couldn't even get off. You know, as a parent praying for her son, as a mom praying for a son, the fear, the concern, you don't understand that as a kid until you have kids yourself. And then you understand that kind of parental love. And guys, that parental love God has for us. And when we pray to God, he's not this distant God that's off out there. He's a Father God, the perfect Heavenly Father. And I know that sometimes we can have a hard time thinking of Father God because of our own experiences. But imagine a perfect God, a Heavenly Father, a perfect Father. And he loves his children and he wants what's best for them. And when we pray, we're praying to that God who hears us, who's attentive to our needs, who's desiring to move on our behalf. We're not praying to a God who's like, well, meh, maybe. You know, someone with the edge. We're praying to a God who knows us and loves us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And as I was on that hill, and the third day, I saw the helicopters going by, and it was the first time it had been sunny. It had been raining and foggy the whole time. And I was alone and alone and alone. And when you're 12 years old, alone in the woods means alone. And finally, one of the copters, I heard from him later, he was a Christian who was in the helicopter who saw me. And he said he had been praying. And right after he finished praying, the pilot said, oh, we're running out of gas. We got to head back. And all the helicopters had been looking too low. And all the neighbors had heard that Matthew Shorrock died and on the news because they were dragging the river for his body. And so it was this helicopter, he prays, and so they're running out of gas, so they turn up the mountain rather than going away like all the other ones had. And as he turns up, he thought he saw a flash of yellow. And, you know, there I am. Barefoot. What is it? Lost scout found, barefoot, hungry, but unhurt. Amen. Amen. Guys, God answers our prayers. And he loves to get involved as a father. And here's Daniel. And he is praying. Remember, Daniel has this thing that three times a day, he goes up to his room, he opens up the window so he can see the land going to Jerusalem, and he prays, and he's been praying for his people. He's been praying for the return of his people as they've been taken captive by Babylon. And as he prays, I love what it says. It was a message that verse 2, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat, no wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of the multitude. As I've been looking at this, and some theologians would agree with me, some would disagree with me. I believe this is Jesus here. I believe this is Jesus, and it's a similar description that's talked about as the one in Revelations 1 in verses 12 through 16. But it's, man, the presence of God, and here it is 21 days of praying, and here is the Lord. Says in verse 7, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. And now, another being touches him, another spiritual being. A hand touched me and sent me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. What do we know about angels? What do we know? We know they're God's messengers. We know they're sent, they're there for our guidance, for our protection. Sometimes we see in Scripture when we pray, God sends angels. And guys, today we get a chance to just see a little bit behind the curtain of what happens when we pray. Now, I'm not going to be focusing on what this means for the future. Remember, our focus is on living out our faith in this culture. But I wanted to spend some time really looking at what happens when we pray. And the first thing that I notice here is I would have a question. How many days have passed? 21 days. 21 days passed. So if I have this experience from the heavens, and I know I started praying, and what did he say? I came when you started, and as I heard him speaking, and on the first day of the month when I was speaking, I shared, and now it's 21 days later. What happened? Verse 12, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now, guys, he's not talking about an actual physical king here. Because they're in Persia. They're in Persia. Darius and Cyrus have taken over. This is now part of the Persian Empire. And so Daniel is serving under them at this time. He says, now I have come to explain to you what will happen to you, to your people in the future. For the vision concerns a time yet to come. Guys, 21 days. And who's gotten in the way? Do you see that we're getting a glimpse behind the curtain of what happens when we pray? Because so often when we look at our lives, we think this world and we see this world, we don't see the spiritual world, and we make a big deal about the physical world. The spiritual world is eternal. The spiritual world has been going on. God has always existed. God is outside of time. And so as we pray, we're entering into a world that he has full control over, that he has as a loving father's response to. And when we pray, things happen in the heavens. Think about that. We get to come and be about what God is doing. We get to not say, God, I want you to bless my stuff. We say, God, what are you doing? How do I join you in it? How do I come alongside? How can I serve you here? And we start becoming about God's purpose for our lives. I love it when he said in verse 12, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. I would be a little, man. Anybody ever have a thought that they may have witnessed an angel, seen an angel? Anybody? I tell you, if angels are real, if God's word is true, we've got angels. I've got some situations in my life where I'm like, Possibly. I can't wait till I get to heaven and get to talk to the Lord and say, was that guy, because I think that guy was an angel. Was he an angel? We're good to go. Okay, good. But here he is, after 21 days of battling in the spiritual realms. And guys, it's fascinating to see because he says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. So as we were going at it, and then Michael came and we got him. Angels and demons. The heavens are moving because of prayer. When I get a glimpse behind the scenes, behind the curtain, it makes me think, what in the world? Why do I look at prayer and respond to prayer the way I do? I'm a pastor. And often, I can go for days sometimes of praying to God and not reminding myself, not being aware that there is a battle going on when we pray. That the heavens are moving, that I get to come into God's plan and be used by Him. And that when I pray, now God is moving before me and He's opening doors and He's He's shutting people off and He's putting a spiritual covering over others and He's moving and I get to be a part of what He's doing. I get to follow Him on this journey. And it's the spiritual world's coming alive through prayer. So let me ask you this. What does your prayer life look like? What does your prayer life look like? Anybody kind of like, don't want to talk about it? Well, many of us, we pray for our meals, right? God is great. God is good. Thank you, Lord, for the food. Right? We pray for the meal. We often pray when we go to bed. And often prayer stays that kind of official thing. That thing we do at certain times. But if it's communion with God, and God is responsive as a Father's heart with us, man, my prayer life, I don't know about you, my prayer life needs to change. I need to keep growing in my prayer life. It has to change. It has to change. Daniel is serving at this time, and it says in verse 14, now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet too big. More is going on than what we see. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face towards the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel weak, very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, O Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. You see, when I think one of the reasons we don't pray very much is because we're so full of ourselves. We're so okay without God. We believe our own press, and we're living for ourselves. And when our focus is on me and mine, when we humble ourselves, guys, when we understand just a piece of who God is and how immense and powerful, all-knowing, all-powerful, loving, involved, and we get a piece of the picture of who God is, we should become very humble before Him and very aware of our needs. As the culture we live in, we're getting further and further into this mindset of, I'm the one that matters. If you have a differing opinion from me, not only do I not want to hear it, but it's offensive before you even start. We tend to create these walls, and we're getting more and more split up by the things of the outside. We're dividing more and more as we speak by the things of this world. Guys, in the church, we need to not follow the culture here. In the church, we need to come together in Christ Jesus. We don't split over color or cultures. We come together in Christ as children of God. One of the things I think we need to spend a lot more time doing is praying and a lot less time maybe looking at the news. It's good to be informed, but it's not healthy to get lost and need to hear the next thing of the next moment of, and when we hear of things, let's pray. Let's turn to God. Let's seek His wisdom in our lives. And I love this. Daniel's response is, first of all, he's speechless, isn't he? That's a good place to be as we come to God in prayer. I bow my face. He's face to the ground. Why? God. I don't belong here looking down. Man, God, oh man. It's a humble heart. And he's speechless. What happens when you're speechless? What do? You listen. You listen. We need to listen in prayer. We need to talk a lot less and listen a lot more. A conversation is not a one-way speech to God. Praying is not that speech that this is what I want, this is what I need, now go do it. Prayer is humbly coming before God and seeking His will, His truth. Where do we know we find God's truth? In the Word of God. So how do I know if what God is saying is right? Number one, it has to go with what's in the Word, right? God is not double-minded. Now, some of those things are a little specific, and so it's a little hard to hear. And so that's when we go to prayer and seeking counsel of men and women that we trust and know who are godly men and women who can give good counsel. And we pray and we hear from God and we wait. And then we act. And guys, sometimes we get so lost in hearing and waiting. There comes a time where you got to say, okay, I'm stepping forward. And God, in this step, if you're in this, I'm going to feel good about this step. But if you're not, and I take this step, but sometimes we get so stuck that we kind of never move forward. So we hear from God and then we what? We respond and we move forward, still in prayer. Still listening, still moving to what God has called us in. He's overcome. Verse 17, how can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid. I love that. You who are highly esteemed, he said. How good would it feel to be in the presence of the heavenlies and hear you're highly esteemed? You know why I believe Daniel was highly esteemed? It's because he was that reliable sedan. We've seen it his whole life. So many of the leaders that we read about, they have big highs and big lows. David and Goliath, David and Bathsheba. These big highs, these big lows. Daniel, the steady sedan, not the Maserati. A steady, reliable sedan. Moving forward. Getting it done. Being consistent in his walk with God. You are highly esteemed. He said, peace. Be strong now. Be strong. You know, when the heavenlies say, repeat, you listen. Be strong. Be strong. You're in the prison, but be strong in God. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. A few things that really stand out to me about this as we look at this and really the focus on prayer. One, when you start praying, things start happening. When you start praying, God is already moving and now you're brought in. When you start praying, the heavens open and man, guys, have you ever been to a play? Have you ever been in a play? One of the things I did some drama growing up, and one of the things I loved was when the curtain closes, what happens? The whole set gets changed, right? It's total chaos. Everybody's moved, not chaos, but it's organized chaos, right? And so it's just everything's going and everything's changing and there's the music, and sometimes in front of the curtain there's the two people having their little talk on the stage and everything's changing behind the curtain. And then it opens up and a whole new world, a whole new scene. Guys, what are we seeing here? We're given a peek behind the curtain. And it's not like Dorothy when she looks behind the curtain and there's the little man. It's the exact opposite. We look behind the curtain and what do we see? Wow. I had no idea. Man. When we start praying, things start happening. Seeing behind the curtain, what do we know? God hears us. Imagine that. The God of all creation, the one who made you, loves you so much, has a father's heart for you, and he hears your heart, not just your words. See, God's after our hearts, not our actions. And so he hears our hearts. And sometimes we ask for one thing, but he knows what's best. And sometimes a father, does a good father always say, sure, run into the street. I'm sure the cars will slow down. A good father says, stop. You can't run into the street. You see, a good father gets involved. Knows what's going on. When you start praying, things start happening. The second thing I noticed is sometimes there's a delay. Well, why is there a delay? Sometimes there's a delay because we are in a spiritual battle. If you have a chance this week, turn to Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. This week, I really encourage you, spend some time in Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. It's the famous scripture about putting on the full armor of God so that when the day of battle comes, we can be ready to stand. So we've got the I mean, when you gear up for battle, you want the right armor on. You want the right weaponry. Offensively, defensive. You want to be prepared. Guys, because of that spiritual battle that's taking place, we need to be prepared for what's going on in the spirit, in the heavenlies. When we pray, we turn loose the power of heaven. And we're coming in. It's like... The enemy responds to that power. Guys, I promise you this. I promise you. If you give your life to God, if you don't know Him and you give your life to Him, things will not be wonderful without problems. If you thought that's what it meant to give your life to Jesus, that's not it. If you give your life to Jesus, you've got a God who is your Father, perfect Heavenly Father, who walks with you through every step of the problems that you face. And He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He walks with you wherever you go. And He is there guiding and encouraging and loving. And it's intimate and it's real. And the enemy will not let that go without a response. 1 Peter 5 says, I don't have this on the overhead, but be alert and sober mind, of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And as soon as there's a response from someone to God, whether it's salvation, coming to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the enemy is going to hit you with everything he has to discourage you right after that. And for the believer who's growing in their walk, maybe there's some areas of the culture that God has said, you know what? That's not for you anymore. I've got something better for you. Maybe it's some kind of an addiction. Maybe it's some kind of substance, or maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's, I don't know. But God is leading you into understanding, and He's giving you understanding about His truth that just leads to junk. And now, man, here we go. Now there's a response. Now I'm growing in Christ. And the enemy is like, easy, tiger. But one of the things that we were talking about in our men's Bibles today was, he might be a roaring lion, but if we're moving forward in Christ, he's a lion without teeth. And all he can do is gum us. That's got to be discouraging for a lion. He can put on a good show. And he can even get us to believe the lies. And live as though he has teeth. But it's not real. See, we have freedom, victory in Christ. It is finished, Jesus said from the cross. We have a Savior who beat death, who beat sin. We get to enjoy Him. When you experience victory, the enemy hits hard, but we don't have to give in. No temptation comes on us that is greater than what we can stand in Christ. We don't have to give in to any temptation. I got to tell you, I struggle. You guys struggle? We don't have to give in. God always makes sure that there's a way through it where the temptation stays temptation and doesn't turn into sin. But the flesh is weak. The enemy is powerful, but not in comparison to God. And so I want to encourage us. Let's not, I'm going to Rambo through it. God already did that. God's the hero. Jesus is the hero of the story. I don't get to be. He's the one who saved the day. Sin that has become a habit often may require help from others. In Christ, as we're praying, God is saying, you know what? Bring it into the light. Because right now, that sin, it's on the enemy's playing field. You need a home court advantage. Right? If you've been watching the NBA Finals, it's been like everybody's winning at home. Nobody's home court means something. When we bring the junk into the light, we've got the applause of heaven. We've got God's moving. And now we're in light. Now no longer does the enemy have over us with our sin. Man, I own you. If anybody knows this about you, when you bring it into the light, people know. And now the enemy is like, well, I'll do something else. And he will. James 15:6 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Guys, what I'm hearing is if I'm living like Daniel, if I'm honoring God, that means when I pray, I'm not praying for what I want, which is against God's will. When I'm honoring God in how I live, now my prayers are not for what I want, but what God is doing. Now what I value has so changed that now my prayers become God's will. And I'm getting to hear from God. And now, because I'm changed from the inside, what I desire is now the things of heaven and the things that are for eternity. And now I get to be about something besides just myself. You want to see a miserable person? Get a person who's so focused on themselves. They can't see anything or anyone else. That's a miserable person. When we focus on God, all of a sudden we see the needs of the people around us. Are you struggling with depression? Stop focusing on your problems. Focus on God and who you can serve. And all of a sudden, the world starts opening up. The world starts opening up. End with this. 1 John 1:9. Don't have this on the overhead, but I want to share this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Guys, we're full of junk, but we don't need to stay there. God wants us to be transformed in what He's done. And if we're faithful of bringing our junk to Him, guess what happens? Transformation. Praise God. Praise God. You know, on Mother's Day, how many of us can say how thankful we are that our mothers, and some of us have mothers by birth, others through adoption, others through fostering, others through loved ones that we care for deeply, and it's a mother's heart. And all of those God hears. And I wanted to read, Alicia shared this poem, and I thought this was beautiful. Right on cue. Mama, mama, I want you to know, I'll honor you always deep in my soul. Does not matter if you birthed me or not. I was placed in your arms and our hearts were locked. God placed us together and He gave you my name. He said, guide this child and I'll do the same. You worked tirelessly and never complained.
I honor you, Mama. I honor your name. From scrapes to bruises to brand new shoes, you made sacrifices for me as mothers do. You went without a many of times so that I could have and you didn't mind. I watched you fall asleep in a chair because you could not take that last step to bed. You fell to your knees in prayer at night, asking God to show you his guiding light. Mama, I love you with all of my heart. You moved mountains with faith to give me a start. I thank you for guiding and teaching me too about the bumps life would take me through. You stand with me now as you did then, whether here or in spirit, I honor you again. It's beautiful. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the perfect Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for all the many mothers, different kinds of mothers, that have so given, not only of their love and time, Lord, but of their prayers. Lord, we thank you that you hear the prayers of your people. Lord, you hear when people call out to you, when people humble themselves before you. Lord, hear us now. Hear us now, Lord. We desire your guiding during this time. Father, we need you. We need you in our lives. We need you in our hearts right now. Lord, you have told me, you have told us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you've told us to take you and to receive you as our Lord and Savior so that we could know a new identity, which is great. A new identity in you. Lord, I pray for everybody here who has looked at you from afar. Reveal yourself to them, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone here who needs you, who is tired of being religious maybe, or tired of trying to do their own thing, Lord, I pray that you would speak to that one right now. Speak your truth, Lord. May they see you for who you are. If there's anybody here who wants to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's not just a prayer, but we say a prayer acknowledging outside what's happening inside. And if you want Jesus to be your Lord, repeat this prayer after me. And not just the words, but knowing that what you're saying is from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me. I choose to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you that I don't have to live like that anymore. I don't know what all this means, but I choose you, Jesus, because you loved me first, and you gave yourself for me, and you conquered death and sin. I give you my life. Thank you that you forgive my sins. And I choose to love you back. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thanks, guys.